Hare Krishna. Today, in the morning, we were scheduled to visit the house of Sri Nandanacharya. Due to rain, we came to the temple here instead, where we could all find the shelter of Sri Panchatattva. It is true, this material existence is like a vast storm, and it is in the temple of the mercy of Sri Panchatattva and their devotees, chanting the holy names, that we can find shelter. I would like to briefly speak something about the house of Nandanacharya. In this way we can go there through the process of hearing. This is the wonderful thing about the path of bhakti, is limitations of time and space can be transcended through transcendental sound vibration. Can everyone hear? No. What to do? Huh? Let us try using both.
Both together.
Put it on this. Could everyone hear at this time? Could everyone hear? If you can hear, please raise your hand. If you cannot hear, please raise your hand. Ready? I guess if you cannot hear, how would you raise your hand? Transcendental sound vibration is beyond all limitations of material existence. In the 1960s, Srila Prabhupada, our beloved Guru Maharaj, began the Hare Krishna movement in the United States of America. in New York and San Francisco. He had a very sincere, enthusiastic, small group of committed disciples. He completely transformed their lives, was literally giving them guidance in every aspect and detail of life. Can you imagine? All there was two little storefronts in the gigantic, all-consuming, materialistic creation of America. In Manhattan Island, the largest quantity and quality of skyscrapers in the entire planet. And then there's one tiny little storefront with a few devotees in it. 8 million people just hungry for money and sense gratification. Huge machine of materialistic propaganda developed perhaps in the most sophisticated form in the history of Kali Yuga. And there's just a few little devotees who just hardly a year before began following regulative principles. San Francisco, it was the pilgrimage place for young people to find sex life and drugs. Hundreds and thousands of such people from all over America. It was like a Kumbh Mela for hippies. And in the midst of that, a tiny little storefront with a few devotees trying to sustain their spiritual lives. In these devotees' hearts, they were 100% convinced that their spiritual survival was depending on the presence of Srila Prabhupada. They were like spiritual infant babies. And Prabhupada took the role of their mother, their father, their master, their friend, their servant. He was their life. He taught them how to eat, how to sleep, how to sit, how to walk, how to talk, how to sing, how to dance, how to respond to nature's calls. But most of all, he taught them how to always be engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by doing so, to be free from the clutches of Maya, the illusory energy that binds us to endless sufferings. Yes, in their spiritual lives, they were not only utterly depending on Srila Prabhupada's day-to-day guidance, but also they saw no possibility of their survival without him. By Srila Prabhupada's mercy, they were blissful, happy, and transcendental. But by Krishna's inconceivable arrangement, Prabhupada became very ill. So ill that it was hard to ascertain whether he would survive physically. He told the devotees, the best place for him to try to regain his health, Sri Vrindavan Dham of India. What a thunderbolt of devastating news this was to the little baby Hare Krishna devotees of the West. And there were just a few. There was no deities except Jagannath in San Francisco, I believe. But it wasn't like the temples were shelters with deities and senior devotees. The senior most devotee joined a couple months before the new bhakta. Srila Prabhupada was going to Vrindavan. For two reasons. One is that could be the best place for him to regain his health because it was his home. Or it's the most auspicious place in all of creation to depart from this world. So Prabhupada was at the airport about to leave. And the devotees did not know if they would ever see him again. They were all in their late teens or early 20s. Try to imagine being in that situation. They were weeping. They were crying. The pangs of separation were very deep. And they were very, very much confused and bewildered about their future if he leaves. And he was leaving. It was at that very critical moment within the history of our movement that Srila Prabhupada gave an eternal truth that could sustain a sincere devotee forever. Srila Prabhupada said, if you are chanting Hare Krishna and I am chanting Hare Krishna, we are always together. Srila Prabhupada said, whenever you are following my instructions, whenever you are applying the transcendental vibration of his vani, his words, to your life, he said, I am with you. There is the Vapu and the Vani. Vapu is physical presence of the Lord or his devotees. Vani is the transcendental sound vibration that they speak. Thakur Bhaktivinoda composed a beautiful prayer in honor of Srila Haridas Thakur. He reasons ill who say that Vaishnavas die. When thou art living still in sound, Vaishnavas die to live and live to spread the holy name around. So through transcendental sound vibration, we can transcend all the limitations of material existence, which are the cause of all suffering and miseries. Srila Prabhupada when he was writing the Krishna book, he actually explained that if one sincerely hears Krishna's pastimes of Vrindavan, Dwarka, and Mathura from the proper source, Parampara, because when knowledge is spoken through Parampara, then the current of the spiritual reality is literally flowing through that sound vibration. When we hear with faith and sincerity, then actually those pastimes are being enacted within our hearts. One time, our dear godbrother, Hayagriva Prabhu, in 1966, he went with Srila Prabhupada for a preaching program in upstate New York at one yoga ashram of the Dr. Rishi. And he was sleeping outside under the stars, I believe. Prabhupada was in a house and he had a dream. In that dream, he saw Krishna speaking Sri Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Then the dream transformed, and he saw Prabhupada teaching Bhagavad Gita to him, Hayagriva. And in that experience of the dream, he realized that it's actually the same thing. So he asked Srila Prabhupada about that. And Srila Prabhupada was very happy. He said, yes, you have understood. This is Parampara. That Krishna is eternally speaking Bhagavad Gita. The words of Bhagavad Gita, every time we read them, when we read them with faith, Krishna is speaking. Because transcendental sound vibration is eternal. And similarly, Krishna's name, Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Ras Vigraha. The name of Krishna is the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It does not represent God. It is not that God is in his name. God is his name. There is no difference. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that simply by chanting Hare Krishna with humility, one gradually comes to the offenseless stage. By offenselessly chanting Hare Krishna, gradually one comes to the platform of chanting with pure spiritual emotion. Gradually the name reveals the beautiful form of Sri Radha and Krishna. Hare Krishna. The name reveals within our heart the forms, Yugala Murti, of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Reveals their qualities. Reveals their pastimes. Reveals the spiritual world of Goloka. And ultimately reveals our particular relation with Radha and Krishna in Goloka. All these supreme benedictions are given in this age of Kali simply through the chanting of the holy names. It is on the basis of Srila Prabhupada's faith in the holy names that he was able to perform the most incredible, historic miracle of making so many thousands of hippies into happies, and then bringing them back to India, where they were accepted as saints. It's inconceivable. Because Prabhupada had that faith that everything is in the transcendental sound of Krishna's name. And Prabhupada's faith was not just theoretical. Sometimes he would tell us that there is never a moment that he is not with his Guru Maharaj. Why? Because he was always 24 hours a day immersed in executing the order of his Guru Maharaj. In reciprocating with that sound vibration of his Guru's order, Srila Prabhupada was always feeling the loving presence of his Gurudev in his heart. And that was not just a sentimental feeling. It's actually the highest reality. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada often told us that we should see through our ears. Because with our eyes, we can't really discern what is what. This material world, everything is like a big mirage. Yes? Mirage means maya, that which is not. We're thinking this is water, but actually it is sand. We're thinking I am this body, but I'm not this body. We're thinking these are my relatives, but they're not my relatives. They're relative. Everything in this world is relative to our particular temporary misconceptions. So yes, everything in the world is like a mirage. We're not really seeing anything as it is. Only a completely self-realized soul can see anything in truth. So therefore, when we hear from the acharyas, who are simply speaking according to their realizations of the scriptures, as it has been passed down through Guru Parampara, then we can actually understand everything as it is, acharyopashana. We understand what is what. Thus, when we learn to see through our ears, learn to see through the faith that awakens in our heart, then we can actually live on the transcendental platform. So due to the rains, we did not go to Nandanacharya Bhavan, but I will try to repeat the words of the holy scriptures so that we can all be there through transcendental sound vibration. We will see through our ears. And if it stops raining, we can go also. And at that time, even though we may use our eyes, we should actually see, not with these eyes. Whatever comes before our eyes, we should understand it within our hearts on the basis of what we hear. Just like a materialistic person comes and sees the deities. I remember I was a pujari many years ago on a hill way, way up in a secluded forest, There was no proper roads, just a mud path. My father wanted to visit me. So they had to bring him up on a horse cart. They put him on a hay wagon with horses going through this mud road because there was no way he could walk through that mud for miles and miles. And he came up to the top of this mountain. There was no toilets. There was no sinks. There was just an old 200-year-old beat-up house, little. It was dilapidated. A few cows grazing. And there was no one there but me. And when he came in, I was offering Archie to beautiful brass deities of Radha Vrindavanath. And he didn't know what was going on. It was freezing cold. It was raining. Hare Krishna. So it's a long story. My father said, "It's been a long drive. Where is the toilet?" I gave him a shovel and a tin can. And I said, "You climb down the mountain, dig a hole in the ground, then wash yourself and then bury it." He said, "I will hold it till I go back to the airport." So it was a very big culture shock for him. Even though right in America he was in culture shock. So at the end of the day, he looked around and there was just not even a leaf on the tree because it was getting toward winter. And there was nobody there. I said, "What?" He said, "What do you do all day?" And I brought him into the temple. Beautiful, resplendent deities of Sri Radha Vrindavanath. I said, "I serve them." And then he started to cry. He said, "You're a grown man, and you spend your whole day playing with dolls?" I said, "That my father, they're not dolls, they're deities." But he was bewildered. So yes, when people come into the temple, they see the deities, they don't know what to think. But because we have heard from Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas, therefore when we see the deities on the basis of the faith that we have achieved from hearing, we see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We bow down, we feel joy. We pray to them. They are the highest reality in our life. We live for them. How is that possible? Because although we're seeing through our eyes, we're actually seeing through our faith. Tulsi. There are so many plants in a garden. With beautiful flowers, fragrant, the bees are Now a materialistic person comes into a garden and sees roses and marigolds and jasmine, so many beautiful flowers. And then they see devotees bowing down to this little plant that doesn't even have any apparent colorful flowers. Why are you bowing down to a plant? Has anyone ever asked you that? Not only bowing down, but bring it in the temple room and offering it worship and dancing and singing and circumambulating and praying. Hare Krishna. Now for an ordinary person, these people are crazy. They're worshiping a plant. They're singing and praying to a plant. But because we have heard from the Guru, Sadhu, and Shastras, who is Tulsi? What is Tulsi? When we see Tulsi, just enthusiasm, joy, and devotion just awakens in our hearts. Yes? We want to bow down. We want to pray. We want to worship. We feel everything's auspicious because Tulsi Devi is here. What brings about that total consciousness? Hearing. We have heard from authoritative sources. And therefore, when we see Tulsi, we fall down in loving prayer and obeisance. So yes, we should recognize to what extent our spiritual lives is based on the quality of how we are hearing transcendental sound vibration. Rupa Goswami, he describes what he's experiencing when he chants the holy names. When materialistic people hear the name Krishna, they don't know. Sometimes they even complain why you're making all this sound pollution. Yes? But Rupa Goswami is telling, when the two syllables Krishna, when they dance on my tongue, I wish to have many, 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 many tongues. When that name enters into my ears, I desire millions and millions and millions of ears. And when that name enters into my heart, it conquers my entire being. That is what happens to Rupa Goswami when he hears Krishna. Why? Because he doesn't have the jaundice that we all have. Different levels of jaundice. You can't taste the sweetness of the holy name. You can't realize that Krishna, with all of his opulences, are manifested in the holy name. So how important it is to sincerely hear from the Vaishnavas, adoshadatata sadhu. Srila Prabhupada explains that faith is awakened by hearing in the association of sincere devotees. And that faith has the power to bring us across all the obstacles of material existence. A few days ago was Christmas. In the New Testament of the Christians, Lord Jesus Christ explained to his followers and to the world the power of faith. He said, if you have faith equal to the size of this mustard seed, you can tell the mountain to move into the ocean, and the mountain will move. Hare Krishna. Therefore, there is the saying that faith can move mountains. But the problem, there is properly placed faith and there is misplaced faith. But everybody has faith. It's just a question of what you have faith in. No one could live without faith. When a child innocently eats anamaya, doesn't really know much of anything else, just knows his truth in life is food, eating. Yes? There's just a simple, innocent faith that if he eats that food, he doesn't even know language or anything. He hasn't heard anything from anyone. But he has that faith. If I eat, it's going to make me happy. It's going to make me healthy. Faith in eating. We have faith that the sun is going to rise every morning. So everyone lives by faith. And how powerful it is. in Germany, early in the previous century, when Hitler was giving these lectures, he really gave powerful lectures. He actually understood the science of how sound affects people's lives. My very dear godbrother, Sachinandan Swami Maharaj, he's from Germany. He told me, actually, so is Yogi Purusha Prabhu. He was explaining to me how Hitler would practice hours and hours and hours and hours, days before he would give a speech, even in front of a mirror. And he would speak with such power, such force. And he actually created gigantic stadiums that held tens and thousands or hundreds and thousands of people, huge stadiums. And they were built only for one purpose, to hear him speak. And he had monopoly over all the radio. There wasn't television, I don't think, in those days. But he had radio, and every single radio station only broadcasted his speech when he was talking. So everyone was listening. And because he spoke with such conviction, with such power, everyone believed him. Practically the entire nation, they just believed what he said. And so many people just did things that inconceivable a human being could do because of that faith. But ultimately, that faith was crushed into powder. So that is how people can be impelled to do practically anything and everything with faith. That is one of the reasons that humanitarian secularists are very much either against or fearful of religion. Because religion has a very powerful effect in affecting people's faith. And people can become fanatics. People can become terrorists. That's what this terrorism is today. Kill thousands of innocent men, women, and children who have nothing to do with any political campaign. They're just living their simple, innocent lives. Just kill them all and go to paradise because you're doing it for God. Most morbid, horrible activities. And they do it with enthusiasm and they're happy about it because of their faith. So what is the greatest need in the entire world today? Transcendental sound vibration that actually gives people faith in the absolute truth. Srila Prabhupada was very, very concerned about our developing faith in the right sources. Many times Prabhupada very much attacked material science, atheistic material science, and even what they claimed were the greatest accomplishments of modern science. Going to planets and inventing things and understanding what is evolution. Prabhupada just, he even said, I kick boot in face. Because if we have faith in these sources, it's going to only bring us further and deeper into the entanglements of birth, death, old age, and disease. But if we have faith in Krishna, who is the absolute truth, then we can enter into the realm of eternal life. What are the qualities of those great souls who have that faith? In a few days, we're going to go to Mamgachi, the place of Vasudev Dutt. He had that faith. He had faith in the word of Krishna. And therefore, he was begging for only one benediction in his life. Let me take all the sinful karma of every living entity in the entire universe on my head. Let me go to hell and suffer all their reactions and let them all get liberated and go back to Godhead. Now that is love. Faith in Krishna awakens love. Love for Krishna. When love of Krishna awakens in our heart, we realize our relationship with Krishna. We realize His beauty, His sweetness, His mercy. And we see how every living being is part and parcel of Krishna. Aham Bija Pratapita, every living being is Krishna's child. Therefore, there's love for every living being. Haridas Thakur had that faith. When he was being beaten through 22 marketplaces by those demoniac, wicked executioners, he saw no fault in them. He only saw good in them. Why? Because he saw that they're part of Krishna. He was weeping in sympathy for them. He was praying that the Lord would forgive them. He loved them. If you only love people who are nice to you, that is not real love. If you love Krishna, then you must love everything and everyone, because everything and everyone is emanating from Krishna. It all connected to Krishna. You may hate the disease, but you love the person that is diseased. That is the power of faith. Haridas Thakur was willing to sacrifice his life to help those who were trying to kill him. We find that also in the story of Jagai and Madhai. Sri Nityananda Prabhu, Madhai, was speaking horrible words against him and was in the process of trying to murder him. And Nityananda Prabhu, loved him, was begging Lord Chaitanya, don't harm him, let him be my property. It doesn't hurt, my Lord. Please give him bhakti. Give him Krishna. That is the power of transcendental faith. It can transform persons into saints. Understanding God and the soul beyond birth and death. A person who has realized faith in Krishna, every act, every word, every thought is an expression of love, compassion. That is the only true goal of life. And it is that benediction that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu descended to give the world. Chaitodarapanamarajanam bhavamahadavagni nirmaham.
Through the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, all of the anarthas, the unwanted pollutants, are cleansed from the heart, and anandam buddhivardhanam. Then the ecstatic love that is dormant within us is awakened. Then we become instruments of God's compassion within this world. That is what Lord Chaitanya came to give. And he established the Harinam Sankirtan movement here in Sri Navadvip Dham. Should we begin class now? Or should we take prasad and continue this afternoon? Huh? We could take prasad and continue. Should we have vote? We will have vote. First is we will have prasad now. What is that? Rama, Vishnu, and Shiva. According to Gauranga Prabhu, prasad is at 3 o'clock. Are you saying that because you want to hear or because prasad is at 3 o'clock?
All is not.
Huh?
All, madam, all will be free. Prasad and all will not be available to
you. Acha.
Krishna saved us from the democratic process. The prasadam hall is not free until 3 o'clock.
Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Gaya.
And there, after taking initiation from Srila Ishwarapuri, he became the menial servant of his guru.
Cooked for him, served him.
And Ishwarapuri gave him instruction that in this age of Kali,
the only hope for all living entities is the holy name. And he gave him this verse, which he told him to keep it always in his heart and never forget. Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam. Kalo nasteva 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 gatir anyata. That there is no other way except the holy name of Hari in this age of Kali to attain the highest perfection.
Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested his ecstatic love for Krishna. And he came back to Navadvip. And the only thing he would do was hear about Krishna, speak about Krishna, and chant the holy names of Krishna. Along with Srivas Thakur and the other Vaishnavas, he would spend all day every day just relishing Nam Sankirtan. But it is explained that although Lord Chaitanya was very, very happy tasting the nectar of the holy name, being with so many beautiful devotees, there was an unhappiness in his heart. He was waiting for Lord Nityananda. Sri Nityananda Prabhu was born in Ekachakra Gram. With his mercy, in a few days we will be going there. He left home at the age of 12 with a mysterious sannyasi and traveled to holy places for about 20 years. in Vrindavan of Sringara Bhatt, he was waiting for the news that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was starting his Sankirtan movement. The interesting thing, according to Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, is Lord Nityananda Prabhu, that whole 20 years, never preached. The Avadhut, who was just wild to preach to everyone and anyone, even Jagais and Madhais, how did he somehow or other contain himself to meet all these people and never preach? Because Nityananda Prabhu always considered himself the servant of Lord Chaitanya. Until Lord Chaitanya gave him the order to preach, he did not feel empowered to preach. And actually, even Lord Chaitanya, he did not openly preach except to Tapan Mishra in a private way. He didn't openly preach until his guru gave him the order to spread the glories of the Harinam Sankirtan movement. When he received that instruction from Guru Parampara, he came to Navadvipa and began preaching. Such an exalted example of how important it is to receive the blessings of the great souls. Our beloved Srila Prabhupada, he was ordered by his guru to preach in the Western world in the English language. And what an incredible success. In a few years, he had temples all over the world and thousands of disciples and millions of books being distributed. But Prabhupada always said that my only qualification is I'm simply executing the order of my spiritual master. So the instructions and the blessings of the great soul are the most sacred and powerful means of our spiritual lives. So Nityananda Prabhu was just waiting in the mood of the servant of the Lord in Vrindavan. And the news came that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was now dancing and chanting, promoting the holy name of Krishna and Sri Navadvipa Dham with his devotees. So Nityananda Prabhu immediately left Vrindavan to come to Navadvipa. He came secretly. Nobody knew who he was, where he was. He went to the house of Nandanacharya for the special purpose of hiding. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one day, he told the devotees, in 2 or 3 days, a very, very great personality is going to come. Vrindavan Das Thakur gives a benediction even before he tells the story. This is how enthusiastic he is about this story. Vrindavan Das Thakur tells in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat that whoever hears the story about Lord Nityananda's arrival in Navadvipa will attain great spiritual love. When Nityananda Prabhu arrived at Nandanacharya's house, Nandanacharya's heart melted in ecstasy to see him. He was very large in size, beautiful complexion, which resembled resplendent molten gold, large, wide, lotus-like eyes that stretched practically to his ears. Beautiful lips that were red like bimba fruit. He had broad shoulders, thin waist. His every limb was the very perfection of all spiritual beauty. His arms extended below his knees. How beautiful was Lord Nityananda Prabhu. He was wearing effulgent blue turban and dhoti. His eyes were always red in ecstatic love. In fact, he appeared as if he was intoxicated in sentiments of love. Nandanacharya welcomed him in the house. And Nityananda Prabhu told him, "Please do not tell anyone that I am here. I am hiding." He worshipped the Lord. One day, Lord Gauranga worshipped Lord Vishnu in his temple at home, and then with very, very special inspiration, he came to meet his devotees. He told the devotees that last night I had the most wonderful dream. I saw a chariot, the best chariot in all the world. This was a chariot that could carry a person across material existence and bring them to the spiritual world. On the chariot was a flag with the insignia of a palm tree. That chariot stopped right in front of the door of my home. Upon that chariot was a very tall, large person. He held a mace in his right hand, and in his left hand he held a kamandalu made out of cane. He was wearing a blue garment and a brilliant blue turban. There was an earring in one of his ears. He looked just like Lord Balaram. He asked again and again, "Is this the home of Nimai Pandit? Is this the home of Nimai Pandit? Is this the home of Nimai Pandit?" He repeated this 10 or 20 times. "Is this the home of Nimai Pandit?" I asked him, "Oh, great personality, who are you?" He replied, "We are brothers. Tomorrow we will meet once again." Lord Chaitanya said, "I believe he was none different than Lord Balaram."